come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm so happy to be here with all of you. As Father mentioned, my name is Father Ricardo Pineda. I'm originally from San Diego, California, but I am coming to you all from Auburn, Kentucky, where I live with my religious community, the Fathers of Mercy. And in case a few of you out there have never heard of the Fathers of Mercy, who we are or what we do, I'd like to share with you some poetry that I wrote one day when I was sitting in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, just so happy, so loving, being a Father of Mercy. It goes like this. We're the Fathers of Mercy, we love to preach. There's people falling into sin we're trying to reach. We'll help to save your soul and sanctify your life by preaching faith and morals in the name of Christ. We stress the mercy of God against the threat of sin, the power of God's grace to give us life again. We go on missions and retreats from coast to coast and help staff parishes that need us most. We give you mercy. Are you excited? I cannot tell you how excited I am to be here with you for this mission. I love being a Catholic. I love being a priest. They both bring me a lot of joy, and I hope to share some of that joy with you during this mission. The title of our mission this week is, If You Knew the Gift of God. Words of our Lord Jesus Christ spoken to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God. With those words, I'm trying to create in you this sense of intrigue, like, what's the gift of God? Do I really know the gift of God? Because perhaps a few of you out there are like I was years ago as a Catholic. I thought I knew the gift of God. I thought I had our Catholic faith all figured out with what I had learned at catechism or in the homilies. I thought I knew enough, and sure, I saw it as worthwhile to dedicate 1 hour at Mass on the weekends, but beyond that, I wasn't always interested in growing in my faith, getting closer to Jesus. I was more interested in things like sports, or video games, or in middle school, all those pretty girls. I did not want to be a priest at all, but it's like God was looking down and saying, you think you know, but you have no idea. And if you really knew the full depths of your Catholic faith, you would be begging for more. And I'll never forget the day that God hit me over the head with this like a ton of bricks. I was reading this spiritual book recommended by a friend, and it was talking about some deeper realities that took place in our baptism. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? This is what God really did in my soul at baptism? This is what God is really offering us through our faith, through the sacraments? Why didn't anyone tell me? And so to help you rediscover and get excited about your faith, we have this 5-night mission. Starts tomorrow night, Sunday through Thursday. And I really want to emphasize that during the mission, there will be plenty of opportunity for confession. Sometimes at the missions, there's people out in the pews thinking, Father, I haven't been to confession in years. It's been so long, I don't even remember how to go to confession. Well, we take that into account. And so you'll find on your way out these beautiful brochures put out by the Fathers of Mercy, Examination of Conscience for Adults and Teens. Everyone 12 and up, please take home your own personal copy. And you open that up and you find, how to go to confession section, in case it's been a while. And under that, you have your act of contrition, in case you no longer have it memorized. And you have what one of our priests likes to call the Wall Street Journal of Sin. All those different sins we might have committed. Somebody said, Father, I thought I was doing pretty well, and then I read your list, and I'm like, I'm a sinner too. So if you go through this list, and you're like, oh my, I didn't know that was a sin. I didn't know all those things were sins. And if you're feeling ashamed or afraid, especially at the thought of bringing those sins before a priest who knows you, if you'd like to have a priest who doesn't know you, who's only here visiting, who's after this going to go meet thousands of other people, hear their confessions, and more easily forget who you are and what you told me. That's me. Come one, come all, have a beautiful experience in confession. We're the fathers of mercy, so come, confess. We'll work to give you peace of mind in place of stress. Divine physician, present to us, though unseen, he said to St. Faustina that the priest is like a screen. So pour out your soul to him as you would to me, and cleansed by my most precious blood, your sins will be. Prodigal child returning to the arms of God will realize with great surprise a love so broad. Fathers of mercy. Now, one of the best things that we can do as we enter into a parish mission is reflect on the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. So important to remember that all of us are going to die someday. We do not know when, and we want to be ready for our judgment. And good to know that when we die, we will be judged immediately. There are no souls wandering around on earth like you see in the movies sometimes. No, immediately we are judged by our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, whether we believed in him or not. And when it comes to the judgment, it's not going to be a simple matter of going up to Jesus and saying, "Hey God, you should let me in. I've been a pretty good person. I've done more good things than bad things." Or if that's not true, well, at least the bad things I've done, well, they're not as bad as Hitler's. So yeah, you should let me in. I'll take that seat up front. No, we can fall into this error of comparing ourselves to others and thinking this is how the judgment works. But when it comes down to it, the first and very important question of our judgment is, did we die in God's sanctifying grace, the state of grace? In order to get to heaven, in order to receive our salvation, we need two things. One, we need forgiveness and deliverance of all of our sins, not the sins of others, our own sins. And two, we need that gift of God's sanctifying grace. And yes, this comes to us in baptism, but we need to continue our whole life long with an attitude of repentance, turning away from sin and that whole program of life where I do things my way. If we die in God's sanctifying grace, we will go to heaven. We might have to pass through purgatory first because Scripture says nothing unclean shall enter, but all of the souls in purgatory will eventually be in heaven. But if we die without God's grace, if we commit a mortal sin and die without repenting of it, there will be hell. And it's not a fun thing to think about, but a very important thing to talk about. St. Faustina was granted supernatural experiences about hell, and she was given to understand that many of the souls in hell were people who didn't believe it existed or never wanted to think about it. St. Padre Pio was once told by someone, "I don't believe in hell." Padre Pio's response, "You will when you get there." Yeah, that can seem a little harsh to some people. Oh, that's mean for a saint to say. Well, no, actually, that comes from true love, right? True love is willing the good of the other. And so he knew that person needed a wake-up call. So what is hell like? What can we say about it? Well, there are three main sufferings of hell. One is the pain of sense. The souls in hell right now suffer as if they still had their bodies. And after the resurrection of the dead, they will also suffer with their bodies. And they will suffer more in those members of their bodies that they might have used more for sin. Then there's the suffering of hateful relationships. Some people think, well, if I'm in hell with a family member or a friend that I had on earth, maybe this will be some consolation. But no, everything good about our relationships here on earth is a foretaste of the perfect love of God. But when we are in hell, completely separated from God, there is no love, only hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness. Someone we know is there, "I hate you, you helped me get here," blaming them. But the worst thing about hell is the pain of loss, the loss of God, having beheld a glimpse of the glory of God at our judgment, and to realize this is what I was made for, and now I'm never going to have it, and it was my fault. Some people say a good, loving, merciful God wouldn't send anyone to hell. This is true. People send themselves there. We do it by our own free choices made in this life. But we were not made for this. The good news is that we were made for heaven, that God has sent us his Son. He is doing everything to make it possible for us to get there. But how are we responding? How often do we think about heaven? Hopefully more than once a month or once a week on Sunday. Hopefully we think of it every day. And how do we think of it? Have we fallen for that lie of the devil that, oh, maybe it's not going to be all that much better than life here. Maybe I should just live it up here. Maybe it's going to be boring. No. My favorite description of heaven is the eternal wow. Did you ever see something that was so amazing it made you go, wow? Well, heaven is the eternal wow. Right? It's going to keep us awake. Right? In heaven, you can imagine your day on earth, your most perfect day, your happiest, most joyful moment. Multiply that by 100 million times, and that is still nothing compared to the joy we will have in heaven. We will have the complete opposite of what we describe there in hell. In heaven, we will enjoy perfect, loving relationships. Will I know my grandfather, my grandmother, or my spouse, people ask in heaven? Well, yes. If they are there in heaven with us, we will remember that we had these relationships on earth. And the love will be all the more perfect because it will flow from perfect love of God. Also in heaven, we will enjoy our perfect, risen, glorified bodies. Never again a headache. Never again a toothache. We won't have to wear masks in heaven, right? COVID won't be able to get us there. In heaven, we will all have this perfect, everlasting vigor, fullness of life, beauty, glory, strength for all eternity. Jesus says we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our heavenly Father. But the best thing about heaven will be the vision of God. The beatific vision, seeing God face to face. He will grant us a capacity for this. If Jesus Christ was to appear on this altar at this Mass and his glory was not hidden by the Eucharist, we would all die of happiness. We wouldn't be able to take it, right? But in heaven we will. He'll give us the capacity to see him. And when we see God in all of his infinite beauty, truth, and goodness, we will realize I am completely satisfied. I do not need or want anything else. And we will realize that whatever cross, whatever suffering, whatever pain God asked you to carry in this life, that it was all so worth it. That it was so worth it to even behold God for one instance. And now we're going to be perfectly united with him for all eternity. This is what we were made for. This is why I'm here, because I love you, with that true sense of love, willing the good of the other. I want you to be with me in heaven. I hope you will take full advantage of this mission and invite others to do the same. The first talk tomorrow night will be on baptism, power to become children of God. There was a woman who came to me one time. She said, "Father, I've been a Catholic for 74 years, and I have never had that understanding of sanctifying grace." That's what I'm talking about. Don't miss it. Second night will be on confession, resurrection, and reconciliation. If you ever asked or heard that question, "Why confess my sins to a priest?" we'll answer that sufficiently that night. And reflect on how confession can be one of the most beautiful experiences on this earth, an encounter with God's unchanging, relentless love, like that woman caught in adultery that we heard of in the gospel, an encounter with Christ. Third talk will be on the church, body and bride of Christ. We'll reflect on the fact that, yes, there have been much scandals in the church, in the history of it, and yet it is still the body and bride of Christ. And what can we do to help uproot the causes of scandal? Fourth talk will be on the Eucharist, heaven on earth. And during that talk, we'll answer another very important question. Why do we have to go to Mass? Perhaps some of your little ones have asked you that question. Why do we have to go to Mass? Or the teenagers, I don't want to go to Mass anymore. Why do we have to go? Well, this is a question that most of the Catholics in the United States get wrong. They don't know the answer. And this is why many of our young people, when they get to college and they're on their own, they stop going to Mass because they didn't receive a sufficient answer. If you think you know the most sufficient answer why we have to go to Mass, come to the mission and you might be surprised, as I was when I learned the answer and I had already been going to Mass for 20-some years. We're the Fathers of Mercy. We love the Mass. We try to say it prayerfully, not too fast. Eternal sacrifice of Jesus Christ made present there. We offer all our works, joys, pains, and prayers. The souls in purgatory there praying with us. The angels and the saints in heaven singing with us. Holy, holy, to the Agnus Dei, we eat his flesh and drink his blood like every day. Fathers of Mercy. And the final night, we will talk about Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, Mary, Mother of God, and our Mother, and how she can help us kick Satan out of our families. I want to give a shout out to all the men. Satan has a lot of men thinking out there, planting this lie in their ear. The faith is women's business. Right? If you're going to church, that's women's business. This mission isn't for you. You know, I'm a man. I've grown up now. This mission isn't for me. Don't fall for that one. Don't listen to that voice. Listen to the voice that says, this mission is especially for you. Come, be strengthened. Come, get a greater sense of your God-given mission as men. Come, learn a little bit more of what you need to kick Satan out of your home, your families, and especially your marriages. Because let's face it, Satan is wreaking havoc on marriage and family life today. Second leading cause of death among young people is suicide. That breaks my heart. But where does this come from? A lot of the time, it's because they have not seen the faith or the love of God sufficiently lived out in their homes. How much of the time because the father has not taken seriously enough his role of being the spiritual head of the household? Let them see an unshakable faith in you, and you might be able to instill that unshakable faith in them, and a peace that endures through any trial. And who knows what might be coming soon upon us. So yes, take advantage of this mission. And many don't know this, that if you go to a mission, a parish mission, some of the conferences, including the final night, and fulfill other conditions, you can actually receive a plenary indulgence. And we'll have handouts on that in the back as well, but suffice it to say, the effects of a plenary indulgence would be not only the forgiveness of all of your sins up to this point, but also the remission of any temporal punishment you might have to pay for those sins in purgatory. The remission of all that punishment from the sins of your whole life up till now. Who would want to pass that up? So do come to the mission. And my hope for all of you who come is that you will come out with a greater sense of intrigue at those words of St. Paul, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has planned for those who love him.